welcome to another episode of Talk Gopher Buckets. I'm Luke Buer.
And I'm Ryan James.
Ryan, last time we had a fired coach. Now we have a hired coach. Well, let's take that back. We have an agreement in place. It's not official yet.
Does that make you a little bit nervous? Like, all of a sudden, we're like, Florida International signs him to a 10-year deal.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
It makes you a little nervous.
Yeah, it does make you a little nervous. I mean, I think I look at it this way. You know, obviously, this is a huge upgrade from Florida International, and it's gonna put him in the limelight, you know, right away early on in his career. I mean, he's only 30 years old, but geez, I mean, who could ask for a better situation?
You know, it's a good situation for him. I just got off the phone with a Florida International guy who covered their basketball team, and one thing that hasn't been mentioned that much is that his teams have been athletic, and they've been pressing up and down. You know, they've been pressuring opposing teams constantly. I guess they were top five in turnovers created this year in the country.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So, I mean, that's something, you know, that's something that I haven't heard much talked about yet today.
Yeah, definitely. I noticed, you know, some tweets today talking about how, you know, they led the country in deflections. And obviously, you know, we just had a head coach that was much about the, you know, defense turns into offense. And I've heard, you know, just looking through some newspaper articles and, you know, hearing him interviewed, just he echoes a lot of the same things Tubby Smith has said in terms of, you know, he wants our defense to create offense. The difference is he has actually done that at FIU. And I shouldn't say that Tubby hasn't done that. Tubby's done that, you know, at Kentucky before, and there were in spurts in Minnesota. So it seems like we're maybe getting the same style. Maybe, I don't know what you think.
I would tend to agree. I mean, I have no idea what they do offensively.
Right.
I like there's any FIU game tapes we can break down real quick. But I think we're going to get the defensive thing we wanted. I don't believe you can press the entire game in the Big Ten.
No.
But, I mean, it'd be interesting. It'd be fun to watch. But, I mean, the thing that you're going to get out of him is obviously a tireless worker. That's all that's been talked about. And we're talking about a coach that, when he was in college, he was a student manager at Providence, and he was coaching high school basketball at the same time.
Right.
You know, that's impressive. You know, he wasn't even graduating college before he was an administrative assistant at College Charleston. He had his first college job at Northeastern at 23, I believe, where he coached J.J. Barrera. J.J. Barrera has been talking publicly, you know, pretty well for him here. A lot of people actually have. We've heard Gabe Dillon spoke up about him. Chandler Parsons spoke up about him. A lot of people. Billy Donovan obviously helped him get the job. So, you know, it's you know he's going to work. And that's something that there's going to be a passion there, and the guys love to play for him. You can see how hurt some of the foreign international guys were when they came out and spoke today. I mean, there's some guys that were hurt.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't heard any too many people being hurt, you know, from the Gopher players that Tubby left. So.
Yeah, well, I like you said, tireless worker. I'm not trying to bash Tubby here, but how many people said he was a tireless worker when it comes to recruiting, or he was, you know, et cetera. I never got that. I never got that feeling multiple times, read multiple different occasions today that Pitino is absolutely a tireless, fierce recruiter. And really, if you think about the situation, I mean, let's not sugarcoat it. Minnesota is not, it is not a destination job really by any means. So if you're going to succeed here, it's going to be through, you know, fierce recruiting and just getting after it.
No, that's going to be what it is. Now, can he get the big three? You know, that I don't know. And if you're talking about a point guard who's running up and down and pressuring defensively, I don't even know if that's Tyus anyway.
Right.
But can he get the big three? I don't know. I think he can get Reed Travis. You know, can he get Rashad Vaughn? You know, he might have to beat out his dad for Rashad Vaughn. You know, who knows?
Right.
But I think the tireless working effort type thing is going to happen more with your Amir Coffees, your Jarvis Johnsons, you know, that type. That's where we're going to see that. Alex O'Kanans, Henry Ellison, that's where we're going to have to see that tireless recruiting. And then he's going to have to come in and, you know, use his recruiting base and bring some athletes up here. You know, is that something he's going to be able to do? We'll see. A lot of people speak highly of the young man. You know, a young man. Are you kidding? I'm talking about him like I'm so much older than him, although I am 5 years older than him. But, yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, it sounds like he's going to be a tireless worker. We're going to see him at all these tournaments coming up. So,
yeah, and think about it, too. I mean, if you look at his resume, I mean, it speaks for itself and who he was under. And just the job he did at it's FIU. I mean, the team hadn't had a winning record in I don't know how long. I mean, the list I saw looked like it almost had been 10 years. And he led them to their first winning record. They had a winning record in their conference season, made their conference championship game with a chance to go to the NCAA tournament. I mean, in 1 year, he kind of worked wonders. I'm not saying he's a miracle worker by any means, and we're gonna shock the world. But, I mean, the tireless effort is there, like you said. And it shows in recruiting. I mean, I looked at their rivals page, and, you know, he definitely improved the recruiting from, you know, just the 1 year he was there with a couple, you know, three and four, or not any four-star recruits, but a couple three-star recruits. So you got to admit, I mean, he puts in the work. He's got the name pedigree. I mean, now it's just time to back it up.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, we're going to see it quick because he's got, you know, the April period is only, you know, the open April period for recruiting is only 2.5 weeks away.
Right.
So, you know, it's, you know, he's probably going to be hitting the UIBL tournament. I'm not sure where the first one is. I think that's in L.A.
Okay.
I'm sure he's going to be in L.A. the first night watching Tyus and Reed play and Rashad play, all playing for UIBL teams now. Two of them playing with Pulley, and one playing for Rashad playing for Wisconsin and playing around the league. Now, but then on the other hand, you know, he's going to go watch. You know, you got Alex O'Kane with the Cyclones, wherever they're going to be. I think they're in the Jayhawks. You got the Pumpernuts kids playing in that big Adidas event. So we'll see his effort right away. We're going to see his effort right away.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about recruiting, because obviously this is something that, you know, needed to improve after the last couple of years. They'll give Tubby credit. He did nab some guys, you know, like Andre Hollins and Austin Hollins and Joe Coleman and, you know, Rodney Williams, etc. I mean, he definitely did a good job recruiting at times, and, you know, but like we talked about before, classes didn't work out. So, you know, he's got a really short amount of time that he can get after Tyus, Rashad, and Reed. And some might say it's almost too late, right? It might be too late, but, you know, we'll really see if he's able to nab one of the three. I mean, I think one of the three or maybe more. You have to give him major props, because coming in super late, not having the long-term relationship that, you know, he could have built over a couple of years, I'd say that's a huge accomplishment.
Well, I think Tyus Jones, as I've always said this, I think he's looking for a reason to stay home. I think he wanted, if there was something to be offered here, he would jump on it. You know, and so it's all going to be about Rich Pitino's self. What is he going to be able to sell Tyus? How is he going to be able to sell Tyus Jones to play for him instead of Coach K, instead of Tom Izzo, instead of John Calipari? How is he going to get that sell? You know, that's what we'll be interested in seeing. Now, I don't think he's going to be judged partially on it, but we'll see. And the same goes for going after Rashad and Reed. You know, but then again, he has to see if they're going to fit his system. Now, I'm sure you can make Reed plays fit any system, but is Rashad the type of, you know, worker on defense that he's going to want? Is Tyus Jones the pressuring guard he's going to want? I'm assuming he would take them and put them around some defensive studs. But, Austin Hollins, well, Austin wouldn't be there. But, you know, maybe they can make Joe Coleman that stud. I don't know. Alvin Ellis was going to be. I thought Alvin Ellis could be that stud. Now I keep getting text messages from coaches trying to figure out what he's going to do.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about Alvin Ellis a little bit, and let's talk about how recruiting style plays into, you know, how recruiting works. So, you know, you constantly, I feel like I'm reading a player wants to play in an up and down tempo team. And I don't know how often that is that teams actually do that, but like say he is able to keep the up and down tempo. Does that bode better for Pitino in recruiting in the future?
I think so, because that's the, you know, kids always will say they want to get up and down.
Right.
So I would say so. Now, if let's say he doesn't bring anybody into the spring, and it's very possible that maybe he doesn't. I mean, you know, you don't have much time to get after it. How many impact players are you really going to bring in this short amount of time? I don't know that, you know, unless you can get a power forward, and he did. There is a power forward that he nabbed at Florida International for their program this spring. But then again, a guy going to Florida National, a guy playing in the Big Ten is a little different. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know who this guy is, so maybe he can, maybe he can't. Maybe he brings him in, but I just don't know. Spring recruiting, I think he used his first class, 2014. I think he uses the numbers, and he gets after it heavy, because you're going to have five. If they don't add, if Alvin goes and only Alex Foster comes in, that's five guys.
Right.
You know? That is five guys they can get after the 2014 class. And then the 2015 class, that's the group that is gonna that has scholarships for Elliott, Mo Walker,
Joe Coleman,
Andre Hollins,
yep.
and Otto Oshinik. So he's got a lot to play with.
Yeah.
Maybe he does grab somebody for the spring. You know, maybe there's some guys he's looking at. There's not much left, though. I'm wondering about Allen Ellis because he decommitted late this morning. And at that point, the Patino name was already out there. People thought that was going to happen. Did he not want to play for Patino? Did he not know that Patino was going to be the coach? You know, where was he at? And is that somebody that Patino's going to go back after? Because there's not too many. Alvin Ellis is probably one of the top five most talented guys out there right now, if not top two or three, excluding McDonald's All-Americans, of course.
Right. Well, let's think about, you know, if you think about Alvin Ellis, if he got his release today, I mean, I have to believe that was in the works, you know, well before than just this morning. I can't
for
imagine.
Sure.
So, I mean, I think it's been something, you know, right after Tubby or shortly after Tubby got the axe. You know, he was wanting to not necessarily maybe reopen his commitment, but, you know, if they landed, say, a Shaka Smart or a Brad Stevens, maybe he would have stayed right away. But I don't blame him for opening it up. And in his case, it makes a lot of sense. But I agree. I mean, he's definitely a need, being that we're going to lose Austin Hollins, and we need to fill, you know, that 2-3 kind of spot.
Yeah, well, we're going to see how he recruits right away, because there's a lot of scholarships available and there's a lot of spots that are going to need to be filled, because there's seven upperclassmen in this program that are going to graduate in the next 2 years. And they just lost four others. So seven upperclassmen to be, I should say, and they just lost four others. So there's a lot of spots that need to be filled. Alex Foster has said that he's going to wait and talk to his coach before he makes a decision. And I would say that's the right thing to do. I mean, there's no true power forward next year. There's Charles Buggs, Otto Oshinik. There's Alex Foster, and you know.
So when you think about his style, that up and down pace, you know, pressuring the ball. I mean, I can't help but think that this has to be an advantage for Charles Buggs, the way he moves, and if he can get it defensively,
yes.
If he can figure it out, like, this might be the perfect move for him.
Yeah, and, you know, the way I would agree. I mean, as long as I have no idea what he's like in the defensive end, everything's going to come to how he plays defense. Austin
right.
Hollins, this will work for Austin.
Yep.
Wally Ellison, I think this would be good for Wally. The way Otto Oshinik is playing at the end of the year, maybe this works for Otto, because that's an active group. Alex Foster, if he's willing to defend, he's long and agile and athletic and tough. So there are guys. I don't know about Mo Walker. I don't know how Mo Walker's going to fit into this system. Elliot's agile enough to play the five in it, I would assume. I think Mo is going to have to lose a lot of weight to get more agile if he wants to play in this system.
Right.
But you never know. Maybe he changes his system a little bit to work in the Big Ten. We'll have to see.
Yeah, I was going to just say, I mean, we talked about Shaka Smart and, you know, the system, the Havoc system that they run, where, you know, they're just trying, you know, to create offense right off of defense. And we were saying, you know, maybe this doesn't work in the Big Ten. And I think Michigan proved that maybe on a night in and night out basis, you know, one off, it wouldn't work. I'm not convinced that it wouldn't work at all. But I you know, there are fewer possessions in the Big Ten. Everybody grinds it out. They play defense. I mean, they really play defense. And I'm not convinced that the up and down style, as much as I like it, I know you aren't the biggest fan of it, but I'm not convinced it would work in the Big Ten, and he will probably have to make adjustments.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I'm switching gears a little bit here. I mean, yeah, he's gonna have to make adjustments, but he's also gonna have to sell some of our bigger AAU people around here. I know,
right?
There's some big names around here. Not gonna say which one said it, but I heard the words embarrassing, and that worried me a little bit. I think it was kind of a judgmental thing by that person. So I'm hoping, he's going to have something to prove to these AAU people.
Yeah.
Right. As well as our high school coaches. Shoot, maybe he goes and grabs a high school coach like he did for Florida National. He grabbed a high school coach down there. Maybe he goes and gets Dave Thorson and talks Coach Thorson to being on the University of Minnesota staff again like he was 20 years ago. Maybe he goes and, he does have a couple of top recruits there that he has coached. And it wouldn't be illegal because none of those kids would be coming in right away. Maybe he goes and gets, maybe he goes and, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe he finds a spot for somebody that's in touch with one of these kids. I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Maybe he brings somebody up. Maybe he brings somebody that he's been close with in the past. Maybe he interviews some locals. I guarantee you that there will be Norwood Teague and Mike Ellis helping him hire assistants.
Right.
That is guaranteed.
Yeah.
You don't have that Villa 7 program and not help somebody with assistants.
Right. What about local ties for assistants? There have to be some guys out there that, like we've talked about before, there are people that look at this job and they want to be on that Minnesota staff. They have connections locally. You have to imagine that they have to identify one or two people that can help them, get roots in Minnesota. And additionally, that person wants to be back and be a part of a new staff.
Well, there's a lot of names out there.
Right.
I mean, there's former Gopher players out there coaching.
Yeah.
Wade Hokanson's at Western Illinois. Ben Johnson's at Nebraska. You have, a couple of guys in Northern Iowa and Eric Crawford and Kyle Green who are from the metro area. You have Tyus Jones' cousin, Jared Nunes. He's the director of basketball operations at Baylor. You have Larry Davis. I don't know Larry Davis leaves Cincinnati, but Larry Davis coached J.D. Jones, Tyus' brother, at Furman. He was his head coach. Nico Medved, now at Colorado State. He was a Furman assistant, and he coached Tyus Jones J.D. Jones, Tyus' brother, at Furman. He's from the Twin Cities. There's so many Twin Cities connected guys coaching out there right now. So I would have, James Ware is in town. He had been coaching at Santa Clara and Utah State before that. Del Sharp, who has been at Iowa State and Louisville in the past, that before Patino, and he's at Hartford. I can't remember if he's at Hartford or one of the schools, or Hampton, one of the schools out east. He's another one. These guys are all college basketball coaches that are, that are probably going to, they may try to get home, or maybe they're too comfortable in the situation and want to stay where they're at. I don't know. But, those are a bunch of names that come around here and recruit often. Dane Fisher at Bucknell. He's the guy that got Mike Muscala out there. He's the guy that got Ben Oberfeld. He's from Rochester. So there's a lot of names out there that are from Minnesota who are coaching at schools.
Right. I think it's safe to say that we're going to have a lot to talk about going into the offseason. Much like last year where we had, would Trevor be back coming off, the success in the NIT, there's going to be a lot to talk about, and it'll be an interesting offseason to say the least.
Yeah, well, and we also got to know there's always transfers when there's a new coach.
Right.
I mean, Dan, we went from Clem to Dan Munson. That first year, there was between when Munson first came in here, and by the end of that year, there was a combined 10 transfers from the time that Munson's name first came up till the end of, in 12 months later. There's 10, and then there was more in the future. When Tommy came here, Lamar Wilson tried to get back on the team after quitting. That didn't work. He left. I can't remember all the transfers offhand. Kevin Payton and Travis Bush, where Kevin Payne quit, Travis Bush was gone. There wasn't as many then, but transfers do happen, and I just, you got to believe somebody's probably going to leave.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think there's too many, though. If you run through the group, I don't see Andre Holland leaving. He's, you know, he's the big, he's the top guard on a Big Ten team. It's possible that he leaves for the NBA next year. So
yeah.
I don't see him sitting out a year. Austin Hollins is a senior. He ain't going anywhere. Maverick Ahamisi is a senior. If Rich Pitino can get walk-ons to do what he did just through hard work at
yeah.
Ford International, I think Maverick Ahamisi could play a role for him.
Yeah.
You know, if he works hard and he play, you know, he's okay defensively. He tries his best.
He's really not a terrible outside shooter, you know.
No. So I think this could be good for Maverick.
Right.
You know, you have athletes in Wally and Bugs and Joe Coleman that probably could fit the system he wants to play. The only, you know, I think Elliot Lyonson is active enough to play in it up front. Plus, he's already redshirted, so he ain't going here. Otto Shinnick has become a better defender. Maybe Chris Halverson. Dan Munter and Tubby Smith wouldn't play Chris Halverson. Maybe Chris Halverson, the guy who likes played walk-ons, maybe Chris Halverson's long and athletic ability, former high school defensive player of the year. Maybe Chris Halverson has a shot.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you just don't know. The one guy, if you're trying to get up and down, the one guy I wonder about is Mo Walker. But then Mo Walker's already sat out 3 years. You know, so does he go down? Does he, who knows what he would do? Or maybe he just stays and loses weight and he's fine. So we'll see.
Yeah, and he kind of came on a little bit. Maybe, you know, there are still the defensive lapses, but, you know, offensively he maybe looked a little more confident towards the end of the season. So who knows? I mean, maybe he loses some more weight, like you say, and he makes a step, and, you know, maybe just a stopgap here and there. You need big bodies, and, you know, they're hard to come by. So it's hard for me to believe he'd take off.
Yeah. Plus, he didn't have a year redshirting. Oh,
exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right.
And they're going to have time to meet with Pitino, and we'll see. I mean, maybe his players seem to love him at Florida National. Maybe they all love him here. A lot of people talk. Jay Billis started talking about, well, a lot of him on Twitter. There's so many people talking positively about him that maybe, you know, everybody loves him and everything's great. It's everything, there's a lot to be said. There's a lot to happen still, so.
Yeah. Well, I think this will pretty much wrap it up for this podcast, but, I mean, it's going to be an interesting few months, and, you know, we'll cover it as we can. So, for Taco for Buckets, I'm Luke Buehr.
And I'm Ryan James.